We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
DGS and KMOX. Coming up in 1 hour, we have the Think Tank, and today we have Megan McBride from the Kelly Group, and Amy Markscore is going to have the balls to walk back into this room after outing us on our lunch we put up on the kitchen table, which is gone, by the way.
It's gone?
It's gone.
It?
Yes.
Someone ate it.
Someone ate it.
Did it go, or did somebody just push it off the counter into the...
Don't know.
I bet Chris threw it away.
I blame it on
trying
Ron.
To help us out.
Not trying to help us out. I bet he was disgusted and threw it in the trash.
Being a jerk.
Well, you've accomplished something when you can gross out Chris Ronji. So that's
everything grosses
yeah,
out.
Yeah, Kevin
Ronji.
Said they get grossed out
gross
at everything.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Everything.
Normally it just takes commitment to gross Chris out.
Everything. I told both of them, like, you guys should never have kids because you won't be able to handle it. They'll be throwing up all the time.
They're dating?
No. I don't mean them too. I mean, like, individually.
This is Mason Jar? Wait a second.
we were just talking about a twist in a movie. That would be a twist in
that
a movie.
Would be a twist. Hey, Wheels, what do you got?
All right. So I read a piece last week and I felt judged. And I wanted to. And it had nothing
That's
to do
rare.
With me.
I did not see that coming.
I honestly don't. Trying to get a laugh. But I read a piece that was, I thought, pretty presumptive and. I thought the writer was doing the very thing that he was mad at other people for doing, and I wanted to review if you guys agreed. So there's a piece in The Atlantic last week that said essentially that people who do not read books show a deficiency of character. And I thought that was a bit strong as I read that. I'm like, deficiency of character? Because I don't want to read a book? Thought it was really weird. And he cited examples like Kanye, who has openly said, I don't believe in reading books or what, you know, like reading books is just people trying to tell you what you should believe or I don't know. It's something stupid. Sam Bankman-Fried basically said the same thing. And then the
geniuses of our time.
Right. And the basic premise is here, people that believe that Kanye's quote was, quote, I'm not a fan of books. Like that was that
well,
whole thing.
He's a fan of some pretty troubling stuff.
And said,
so.
I'm a proud non-reader of books and things like that.
Remember producer Tom Turbrock's famous quote about books?
Yeah, what was it?
F books.
There we go. Yeah.
That was his little opus.
See, so I'm kind of in that camp in just there's not a lot that I want to read just for my entertainment. And the way this piece went along was essentially, if you don't like books, then you're like these people. Right? It says something about your character. And, I think it says a lot about your character if you're willing to judge other people by something that's simple. Because there are a lot of ways to read information. I don't have to crack a book to learn about policy. I can just go on the internet and find articles or whatever. I don't have to read an entire book about something to understand the basic level of it. Now, if I'm going to be pursuing a doctorate, well, yeah, I got to read books about that. I do think books are necessary as parts of learning certain things. You couldn't be a lawyer if you didn't read books. You know, you couldn't be a doctor if you didn't read books, or you wouldn't understand a lot of the things that you need to understand. But I feel like, and you know, not everybody, but they're like that kind of person is pulling the same thing on people that aren't really into it as he suggests they are. He's saying that these guys are so arrogant and they don't really care that, you know, that's an indictment of their character. And I would argue that if you're willing to indict someone's character because of a habit that they don't share with you or a pastime that they don't share with you, isn't that the same thing or same idea? I mean, it's not exactly the same thing, but the same idea. Because the argument here is that guys like Kanye and Bankman-Fried and people like that dismiss books wholeheartedly because in their eyes, they're corrupting you. They're telling you, Bankman-Fried said something like, the books are only telling you what they want you to know. And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, everybody that writes something down is trying to tell people something, a story or the history of something. Like, of course, that's what they're doing. Like, that's the nature of it. And it's all of us that read it all, filter it all, and figure out, you know, what it means, where it fits in the puzzle. And that's kind of, but to judge everyone who says, books aren't for me, seems like a bit much. Because, I mean, does that make sense? Or am
absolutely. I also think there's a huge difference between people like Bankman-Fried and Kanye West who say that books are bad, and then people who say, oh, it's just not my preference to read in that way.
Right, right. And the way the whole piece it comes out is, these are two examples, but if you choose not to read, it's a flaw in your character. And I'm like, that's a bit much.
I've said this as recently as a couple weeks ago. First of all, I have a relationship with books about the same as I do wine. I like the idea of them better than the actual thing. I like to shop for them. I like to look at them. I like to purchase them, but I rarely finish either. And I was going off the other day because of people who write 600-page books. I get it if you're getting your PhD and you want to write the next 600-page book for people who are getting their PhD. But I wish they would also do an addition for me, which is one page. Because I've yet to read a book on something that's not like astrophysics. Like, right. If it's a self-help book, if it's philosophy, you can sum it up in one page. And I'll get more out of that one page if you just distill it down to the nectar of, here's my idea that I don't think anyone else has had. Here's my idea for self-help, for philosophy. Make it one page. And then if I read it and it speaks to me, I can read more. Yeah. If it doesn't, I can move on. But I don't think people will do that. But I think that's dumbing stuff down. And I think it's just effective communication.
Well, I would agree. And I think that's really the point that I think you said it better than I did. That's kind of the point that I'm making, is there are a lot of ways to seek information. It's 2023. It's not 1850. You know, there was a time when reading a book was about the only way you would learn anything. We don't live in that time anymore. So if you choose to get your information by sorting through various articles on the internet, whether it's, you know, the research article itself or someone who covers that topic that can write it out, like you said, why do I need to read? If it's for entertainment, that's one thing. But even then, if it's your entertainment, why would that be a problem? Like, if I choose one thing for another over entertainment, how does that decide anything about anybody's character? I think there's something true about people that are not intellectually curious. I think that's a little odd, that you don't want to know things, or you don't want to learn things, or you'd rather go with your own assumption than take the time to look something up or find out more about it. That I find odd, but I wouldn't go as far as this writer did, and essentially saying it's a character flaw. And it's weird to me to pick this topic of, you know, people that of people who are not into book reading.
Well, I don't know if
you've
noticed.
The worst people on earth to make your example.
Yeah.
I've also noticed this about quote-unquote geniuses, typically the ones who self-proclaim. They're very defensive. So it's one thing to say, oh, I've read hundreds of books, but I'm not sure that they blah, blah, blah. But when you're Kanye West, who calls himself a genius every other sentence,
right,
says like, oh, no, they're just trying to, you know, to manipulate you and all that. That to me is so weak ass.
I love that he says that. It's like, well, what are your songs doing? Like, you're speaking to people. You're conveying a message. Are you just trying to manipulate everyone with your messaging?
Great point.
I mean, that's exactly right. Every medium is that, right? These are the thoughts that are in my head, and I want other people to read them, see them, hear them. Making a movie is the same thing. You're a movie maker, or whether you're writing the script or you're the director, you have a vision. You have something that you want the world to see. You're telling them, this is the thing I want you to see. But we all have the ability to filter information. It's not like books are anything different than any other medium of communication.
Okay, I get why people do place some importance on them, because it's hard. I don't know how to properly sum it up, but I get why this guy is saying, like, you should read books. I think that it's generally gonna help you way more than it would ever hurt you. But I don't think it's fair to say that just because you don't like reading books, like there's something inherently wrong with you. There are so many more people out there who don't read.
I think my opinion, having been pretty much every iteration of this, completely uneducated, didn't know what GPA stood for my senior year, swear to God, and then going to law school and then later in life, like I would love to get a PhD. I just saw Peter Weller doing a TikTok, and he's like, this is Dr. Peter Weller, and that's not an honorary degree. It took me 10 years to get my PhD in Italian Renaissance studies. That's useless. I would love to do something useless. I would love to go do that, but... I think the more information you take in this life, the more well-rounded and reasonable you're going to be. Mm-hmm. But there also comes a point with anything, whether it's relationships or porn or food or alcohol, or I think it can be the same with learning, that if you're constantly with your nose in a book like Burgess Meredith and Twilight Zone, you're missing out on actually experiencing things.
No, that's a great point. And I think I want to point this out really importantly, too, that I know a lot of people that are avid readers, that are real book people, and they're not judgy like this. They love what they love because that's what they love. Yeah. And they're not looking at someone else saying, you're a lesser person because you know this. I mean, the conclusion of this article says, essentially, I immediately disregard anyone in the business of selling a vision that proudly proclaims that they hate reading. Well, some people hate reading in part because of what you said, Dave, is some things are just too long, longer than they need to be. I also think maybe there's something there about how we're educated, where you're forced to read a whole bunch of crap that you never really are going to need ever.
Very true.
And you spend so much time on that that you're like, I don't want to do that anymore. Because reading becomes associated with work and not fun.
I'm sure this is a topic for every young teacher, teaching student. How do we make it more fun? How do we make it more enjoyable? You would think they would have come up with something better than they have over all these years.
Yeah.
Because it's presented to you in a way like vegetables are when you're a little kid, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to do it. You know, you're not leaving until you eat the Brussels sprouts. And you're going to, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, I hated it. Hated it.
You can't do honors English unless you're going to read Shakespeare. Shakespeare is tough. I want to tell you something. That's probably the thing I hated reading the most in my life. But I had no choice because it was forced on me. I had to do it. I didn't get to do it as a 30-year-old person that would be like, I'm really curious about this and I want to see what it's about.
See, there's something, I'm broad-shouldered enough intellectually I can say it. Like, I get it. Shakespeare's always been a thing to me because it was a trope and they make fun of it on Gilligan's Island or whatever.
Right.
But it's never, ever spoken to me. I guess I'm just too much of a East Side Hoosier because it's never, like, I've never.
Shakespeare has never. It's just like a funny statement.
Yes, it is.
Has it to you?
Yes.
Well, I guess you're my superior.
No, I'm not saying I'm your superior. It's just funny.
It was just the way you laughed at me that confused me. It's just never, like, okay.
I'm with you.
Okay. I get it.
And I know part of the way that, like, the things that I do read are the things that I know I'm going to enjoy reading, right? Because reading should be that. It should be fun. And that's the problem, is when you're forcing people their whole lives to read things they're not interested in. And I don't mean, like, a textbook. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, like, a history book. I'm talking about when you're forcing, these are the classics, and you must read these in school, or you can't. Why? Why do I need to read the same thing that everybody read 100 years ago? Why and can't I read what interests me?
Why is the older it is, the better it is?
Oh,
why can you say to kids like, hey, look, it's kind of scary, but we're going to read Stephen King. You're going to read The Shining, as opposed to reading something from 200 years ago. We have a strange bias with that. Like, we all romanticize our past and our childhood and you know, football in the 70s and toys and all that. I think we do the same thing with literature, that we look at something and the older and mustier it is, the less relevant it is to today, the better it must be. I don't think that's necessarily true.
David stood the test of time.
324 DGS at the top of the hour. I'm sure we'll discuss this with the ladies on the think tank, but... the Tyre Nichols video, did you guys watch it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
General thoughts? Specific thoughts?
How? How's that happen? Like, how does it get to that point? How does nobody in the group say, wait a minute, this is insane?
You know what the first thing I thought was? this is not the first time any of these guys have done this.
No.
Yeah. It came very naturally. It came very quickly.
Yeah.
You know the word that popped in my mind the most? Entitled. Those guys just seemed entitled.
Yeah.
I get to do this, and I'm going to do it. And I would bet every penny I have that every one of them who are actually landing the blows, have this isn't their first time.
They did not look like this was new to them. Right? I mean, like, you would think if you just snapped and lost it, like at first you'd be like, and then you would come out, oh my God, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
There was none of that. There was no doubt. I mean, it was just continued nonstop. I don't understand it at all. I don't know how anybody who is trained to deal with those situations goes that far with someone that's not a threat at all.
I also don't understand. You can't be a complete idiot and be a police officer. If anyone understands, like, there are cameras everywhere, it should be a police officer. Even if you're evil enough to do this, don't you have enough presence of mind and self-protection to go, hey, there could be cameras?
Well, the working theory is that they were saying these particular commands, like stop resisting, even though there was no way he was still resisting at that point, because that would be picked up on body cam audio and you wouldn't necessarily be able to tell what was going on.
That's
so they
extra
like,
evil.
Covered themselves in that sense. But then we had the surveillance footage that picked it up.
Yeah, I have a question. Why do you think that you can't be a complete idiot and a cop? I think we've seen quite a few complete idiot cops. I would actually put the Pelosi footage on there. We see that cop go to the, knowing that there's a guy in the house with a hammer after Nancy Pelosi, knocks on the door, they open the door, he sees two people holding each end of a hammer, and he goes, what's going on here? And he has the time to make a Marvel quip and take a swing at Pelosi's head before the guy goes, oh, yes, and runs in and grabs the guy and stuff. I mean, I would say that's pretty complete idiot material, in my personal opinion.
Typically, when people run from the police, I never say like, oh, you deserve what you got. But at least you understand like, well, he ran from the police. And when people say like, well, my son ran because he was afraid. He was afraid of getting beaten. Typically, I roll my eyes. On this one, I believe it. Like, this, I don't know.
Why people are afraid, though.
I could be convinced otherwise.
Right?
Like, oh, no, he had a warrant or he had this or that. But on the face of it, from what I've seen with my own eyes, if you tell me that Tyree Nichols would have just complied, except that they pretty much opened the door and started beating him, and he ran to just get away from this beating, I can accept that.
Yeah.
And I typically don't.
And I don't think there's any scenario there where they... I give a little grace. And I know this is probably a terrible thing, and I shouldn't, but I can give a little grace if you're in a tense situation and in frustration you throw a punch. Two punches. You're trying to get someone to comply. That doesn't bother me as much, and maybe it should bother me more, and I'll admit that maybe there's a flaw in me in that. But you have to stop. You don't just get to keep going. You lost control when you're trained not to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, it's a similar issue. I think we've heard of stories like soldiers in combat who have targeted or accidentally shot civilians or whatever because they went beyond. They lost that connection. You can't.
Also, how big of a wuss are you if you're afraid of someone who's laying on the ground with their hands zip tied behind them, half beaten? Like, at that point, you could probably leave and he's not going to get very far.
Yeah.
But you certainly don't need to be spraying him and beating on him and kicking him and just crazy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 336. Happy Weird Monday. Dave Murray joined us now. Hello, Dave.
Hello there.
So, I was in last night. No internet because AT&T sucks. So, I didn't know any of this was coming. I walked out on my porch at some point and slipped. Did you guys see it coming? Did the road crew see it coming?
Yeah, yeah. There, you know, it was not going to be a huge deal because it was very light. But it's a great example, once again, in the St. Louis area, that it doesn't take much, especially when you're dealing with sleet and freezing rain and freezing drizzle, especially on sidewalks, driveways, things like that, untreated surfaces. It can quickly become a problem.
So what happened, basically?
A little front came through. And that front is now off to our south, and so it was just enough moisture in the atmosphere to squeeze it out. And we have these really weird temperatures in the upper atmosphere. So it's warm aloft, cold air on the ground. That's the effect of this cold front that came in. So it let the cold air in. Cold air is heavier than warm air, so it undercuts the warm air. And so you get rain forming aloft, and then as it comes down, it hits temperatures below freezing, and a couple of things can happen. One, if those levels are fairly high, some sleet will form. If they're really low right at the surface, that's how we get freezing rain. The raindrop comes all the way down until it makes contact with something on the surface.
All right. How about from here on out?
Okay. Nothing much around St. Louis this evening or overnight. I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple of snow flurries, but it is cold, 12 degrees for the low. However, if you live Farmington over to Carbondale, draw that line and point south, you're going to see sleet and freezing rain and even some snow around, let's say up until about 10 o'clock tonight. Big batch of moisture in southwest Missouri, northwest Arkansas, and that's coming for basically areas well to the south, but I want folks to be aware of it. Tomorrow's a cold, cold start, cold day, 28 degrees. There'll be a little sun in the morning, more in the way of clouds in the afternoon, 17 Tuesday night. Wednesday, cold start, 38 for the high on Wednesday afternoon. Still cold, still below average temperatures. Thursday, a lot of clouds, but up to 45 degrees. Another little front kind of squeezes the cold air back in. Friday, partly sunny and 35. It does appear that the rest of the week, the main storm track is to our south and far enough to the south that it shouldn't affect the St. Louis area.
Very good. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Get your groceries delivered or use curbside pickup with the Schnucks Rewards app. All right, I'm going to start with a story that is sure to make everyone mad, especially Dave Glover. And it is a update on the M&M's spokes candies situation. Has anyone seen this?
No.
I thought they were going away for a while.
Well, that was the plan, Dave Murray. They were supposed to go away for a while, and they were going to be replaced by Maya Rudolph as the official spokesperson. But a lot of people got to thinking, and they said, is this just a stunt for the Super Bowl? And someone reached out to Mars Candy, and an M&M's rep said, rest assured, the characters are still our official long-term spokes candies. They are spending some time pursuing their other passions in advance of the big game, but the brand's Super Bowl ad will indeed feature the resolution of the storyline and put the spokes candies back right where they belong, at the heart of the brand. So this whole thing with the M&Ms being too woke and being replaced by Maya Rudolph and they're going away forever has all been a giant ploy and a publicity stunt for the Super Bowl.
I'm dead serious. I can avoid M&Ms. I'm not going to avoid candy or chocolate. I may never eat those again. These POSs.
Just because they're playing games?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh. Did you see? I think we talked about it on Thursday, Dave, when you were gone. Did you see the A&W bear thing?
No. Do I want to know about it?
So they mocked the M&Ms thing by talking about why their bear for years never wore pants, and that to avoid all of the controversy, they're now going to make him wear jeans so it wouldn't be a controversy. And it was clearly a joke at the expense of M&M's. But it also got A&W a lot of play, and on some of the news networks, Fox News, they took it seriously. We're like, oh, my God, woke strikes again. It was pretty hilarious. But A&W was clearly, like, trolling M&M's and then anybody that would be stupid enough to believe them.
Look.
Take a deep breath.
When I was a lawyer, my best buddy worked at Glennon and Company, and he had the McDonald's account. And I said to him, thinking I knew everything in the world because I was 25, I'm like, hey, I got an idea for you. Stop advertising for McDonald's. Everyone knows it. And he's like, you would think that. That's not the way it works. Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I get it. However, everyone knows M&M's. Most people love M&M's. We only need to be reminded. You can, though, piss us off enough in 2023 so that someone like me just goes, I'm not going to give you my money. I do that so infrequently, but this is just, I don't know.
I am that way. There are a lot of ads on TV and radio that I hear, and I say specifically because I don't like how you're doing it, or because it's annoying, or because they're annoying, that I will actively choose someone else other than you.
And to be clear, you're not mad at the M&Ms because they took away the green M&Ms high heels. You're mad that they've just gone back and forth so many times.
I couldn't care
I'm mad
if about that. Every M&M was Paul Lynn. I don't care because none of them are gay and none of them are straight. They're candy.
Fictional candy.
I don't care what their sexual preferences are.
You know what lost me?
I don't care who Twizzlers want to sleep with. I don't care. It's so stupid. But I do care when you think that I'm dumb.
Yeah. The part that loses me when they're doing the whole spokes candies.
Yeah.
Stop!
Don't call them spokes candies.
It's cartoons!
What I want to know is what their other activities are, their other passions that they want to get involved in.
What are they pursuing right now?
Do they like to read?
The spokes candies.
I'm sure we'll find out in the ad. That's what the ad's going to be.
You're right.
Yeah, it's going to be going to them. They're going to be fishing and painting and whatever the hell else, and they're going to go, we're getting the
band back together. And Maya Rudolph's going to be in the Super Bowl commercials with them.
I'm typically wrong about these things. What was the Nike thing when I said, oh, I'm going to buy whatever it is it's called when the stock's going to go down because Nike's never going to come back?
Was it when they aligned with Colin Kaepernick?
Yeah, I think it was the Kaepernick.
That was it. I was going to, for my first time ever, short a stock, and I would have lost everything because it, like, went up exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
And the M&Ms are just going to skyrocket at
probably.
This point.
No, Rage, they probably will. You watch. They will be more popular than ever, though. Their sales will go through the roof.
I think there's a big difference between, like, aligning yourself with, like, Nike aligning themselves with the social issues, which is a gambit that paid off. And then this stupid M&M garbage. I think there's a difference.
This reminds me of Mr. Peanut and Baby Nut from the Super Bowl, which I'm pretty sure kicked off the pandemic, started the entire pandemic, that just monster.
Pushed us into the COVID timeline.
All right. A 29-year-old woman is facing charges for allegedly using false documents to pose as a student at a New Jersey high school. 29-year-old woman. She went to classes at New Brunswick High School for 4 days after providing a fake birth certificate to the public schools with the intention of enrolling as a juvenile high school student. Police have not said why she enrolled in the school. They discovered the deception while completing vetting protocols and barred her from entering any district property. Kind of weird that a 29-year-old would want to go back to high school like that, but maybe we'll be hearing more out of that situation. Did you guys see that a Tesla spontaneously combusted on a Sacramento freeway on Saturday? Around 4 p.m., the Tesla S model was driving eastbound on Highway 50 and not speeding when its battery compartment suddenly caught fire. No injuries were reported, but around 6,000 gallons of water were used to extinguish the flames.
I think it's funny that it was the S model.
You know what I thought was interesting is I've never been a Tesla guy. And part of it is admittedly some kind of obscure stereotype I have about who would drive a Tesla. Okay. That one's on me. But now people are shunning them because of Elon Musk. That Elon Musk has shown his butt so much and people are so sick of him. And he is, let's face it, inextricably linked. And people, I think, wanted a Tesla. because old Elon Musk, before he opened his mouth, was a genius, and I can land rockets on barges, mm-hmm. and like, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. Now that he's shown himself for what he truly is, which I don't even know how to describe, a lot of people are saying, yeah, I don't want a Tesla, I don't want to sell mine.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they also slashed their prices so much.
Right, which
that,
really made people mm-hmm. mad.
Yeah, the people who originally had yes. a Tesla who were like, well, so why did I have to pay so much? But they did yeah. just turn a pretty great profit last week from slashing right. their prices.
He's,
so.
He's being sued by a bunch of investors, too. Right, yeah. He just spent 3 days on trial. I mean, I'm sorry, on the stand testifying in a trial or in a case where he's being sued by Tesla investors for his actions, for some of the ways he's handled all this stuff. And for making some promises on Twitter that didn't come true, something like that. What was interesting is after he came out of court, there were some reporters waiting, and he's like, oh, I can't answer any questions, you know, and things going on in there. He goes, but I would like to know what you think. And he asks the reporters what they thought of what happened in there. Like, why? Why would you? Like, it just shows
weird.
You how needy he is,
can
right?
Can I tell you one more person? I'm inexplainably, indefensibly angry at.
Sure.
Marie Kondo.
Oh, yeah, because she's not tidy anymore.
Oh, my God. She is now a millionaire.
She's messy now?
Because of her whole, mm-hmm. like, pick up a sweater, hold it to your chest. Does it speak to you? No, then throw it out. Everything needs to be tidy. Everything, a place for everything. Everything in its place. She's a millionaire because of her stupid-ass show, which basically comes down to clean your house. And now...
That's exactly what it is.
Now she has kids, and she's come out, and she's like, oh, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, my place is a mess because kids, right? And it's like, oh, my God! You just took all of our money and changed so many people's lives, and you didn't even mean it.
She's... I just Googled this, and the quote was, she has, quote, kind of given up on tidying the home.
That's
it's your whole
it's
brand.
Your whole same. Thing. There's nothing about you except pick up your clothes.
She M&M'd us.
Yep.
Two second question.
Yeah.
Why would you watch someone telling you to clean up your house?
Oh, it's an extremely cozy, comforting show.
Oh.
It's really good. I mean, I really, really
enjoyed it. Well, I can't wait
for
next season. Her wiping her butt on the towel because she has kids now. Thank you, Dave.
All right.
I love making Dave Murray laugh. 3:53 with the Think Tank coming up next. I thought this was very interesting. Paul Stanley from KISS made some news and made some people angry. He said he's talking about chasing your dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And his point is you can waste a lot of time. You have to know your limitations. And his quote is, I think at some point each one of us has to do some sort of self-assessment of what we are capable of and what's out of reach. We have one time on this earth, and time is so precious, and it only becomes more precious as time goes on. So I think it's always important to chase something that's realistic. It doesn't have to be realistic for the person next to you, but you have to believe that you can do it. Otherwise, you're completely wasting your time on this earth. Thoughts?
I would agree with that.
I would, too.
I've said on the show before, I think sometimes we put a little bit too much emphasis on like, follow your dream, because not everybody's dream works out. You can still have a happy and fulfilled life if you're not living the dream you had as a kid. You can still have a worthwhile life, even, you know, no matter what it is that you do for a living, no matter where you end up, you can make the best out of your situation. So I'm not saying like give up by any means, but I don't think that following your heart and following your dream is, you know, the ultimate end all be all that sometimes we've been taught.
I find that to be a weird messenger for that. The guy that tried to do one of the lowest percentage things that anybody could ever try to do, be a rock star, and had succeeded at it. Like, he did shoot for the unreasonable.
Yeah.
He did shoot for the thing that is not the, you know, kind of stay within your own capabilities. I think it's
I
weird,
know.
Though,
I
that you're like,
I
you're
disagree.
Saying that you, he's saying that you know what you're capable. How do you know unless you push?
Well, I don't think he's saying, like, don't ever try. I think, like, had KISS hit 40 and they had never made it, then maybe he would have said, I don't think I'm made for this. I don't think I have the chops. But at 18 or whatever they were, and he's really good singer and a great guitar player and very handsome, and he meets Gene Simmons. Yeah. I mean, I'm speaking for someone who I don't know exactly what he means. but I would think that he would probably say, oh, no, I chased something that I could do, obviously.
Right, but you only know that in retrospect. You don't know when you're 18 what you can do.
But at some point, you know.
Right. Well, eventually you have to learn. Yeah. Like, the world will tell you. I mean, look,
yes.
I use myself as the example. The world told me you're done with baseball. You're done. You're not good enough. And that you have to be able to take that lesson. Sure. It just, I don't know. Just the way he put it was weird. Maybe it's just he's a rock star and
it's like, you made it, bro.
It's like, but you're the guy that did the thing.
Yeah.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.